Good morning, everyone. So good to see you today. Let's all stand. The song is We Have a Hope, and I want you to really sing it out today. Here we go. Here we go. Give me the first verse. I have a hope. My God is for me, He's not against me. So tell me.
to invest your seeds of trust in God.
This morning we've got the kids on their way to camp as we speak. They're on the road traveling to Minnetonka. Had a good group, not near the group we've had in years past because COVID set us back a good way, but we're rebuilding. We had about 50, well, we did have 51 total in going to camp, and so y'all pray for them as they're traveling. This whole section over here, I'm proud of these two. They came even without all their friends. But outside of that, the section's kind of empty. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to play on our phones during the service and while they're away. Let me just mention for prayer a couple of people. Andrew Olivares, this is Lola Cardenas' brother, and he's having a lung transplant this morning. And so we need to keep him in our prayers. And then also Jared Ashley, this is Karen Chaney's grandson from down at Spur. He's 27. He was in an ATV accident. I'm thinking it was yesterday evening. He has some head injuries and is in pretty tough shape there at UMC. I'll go up there and see them after church and maybe keep you, let David know, and he can keep you posted on that. His name is Jared Ashley, 27 years old. Dubose family, that's Cindy Elder's mother, passed away this week. And, of course, David lost his father this week, and he did a fantastic second-to-none job on his dad's funeral yesterday down at Coleman. What a blessing it was just to sit here and talk about his daddy. And so pray for David and his family, the Jenkins family, and in their time of loss. Okay, glad you're here. We'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask God's blessings. And if you will, Randy Powell, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. Maybe sit at this time. We're going to sing with the choir. Stayed there. You've told us in your word that you could have called 10 legions of angels to come and take you off of that cross, but you stayed there to pay the penalty for our sins. And God, I'm grateful for that, because it makes what I've went through the last week so much easier. When you have to say goodbye to those that you love, and you know that they know Jesus, and you know Jesus, you know that it's just a few days before reunion is going to take place in heaven. God, our desire today is, if there's one here that has never truly been born again, God, our desire is that they would come and accept you as Lord and Savior today. God, I pray that you'd be with our young people as they travel to Minnetonka, and God, I pray that you'd give them traveling mercies, but God, I pray that your hand would be upon what's going to take place there this week. I pray that you'd be with our young people. I pray that you'd open their hearts and open their eyes to the truth of the gospel for those that have never been saved. But God, I'm asking you to call some of our young men to be preachers and to be youth directors and to be missionaries. God, I pray that you'd do a work in their hearts and in their lives that only you can do it. God, I pray that you'd be with our preacher this morning as he comes. He opens the Word of God and he lays out what you've put upon his heart this week. God, I pray that you would encourage our hearts. I pray that you would draw us closer to you today. God, I pray that everything that's said and done would be honoring and glorifying to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? See him there, the great I am. A crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's light displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross, lifted up on Calvary's hill. We cursed your name and even still you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for the we
seated. We'll have a word of prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful this morning, Lord, that we can call upon your name. And Father, we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, you hear our prayer. And Lord, because of Christ and the shed blood and the forgiveness of sins, we can come boldly before your throne, as the scripture says. And Father, we do come boldly, asking for you to speak to our hearts and asking, Lord God, that you would receive our presence. Would you receive our having come to your house this morning as worship, something that would please you, something that would bless you. You've blessed us so much. And Father, we do ask once again for protection and blessings over the kids and adults that travel with them. And Father, it's a vacancy to not have this group over here to our left, the section full of kids. But Father, we know they're going to be fed this week at chapel service after chapel service. They're going to have a blessed time. They're going to be spoke to by your word, and we give you thanks for that. God bless these families that were mentioned earlier. We thank of David's family. We think of the Dubose family. We thank, Father, of Andrew having this lung transplant this morning. We think of Jared Ashley, Lord, with this head injury. Father, there's so many needs. We just pray that you'll bless in each case. Father, now I ask that you'll bless your people. Holy Spirit, please anoint me. Give me clarity of thought. You know the distractions that I've had this week. We pray, Lord, that all of those things would be dismissed in my mind, that I could focus and be clear in the delivery of your word. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, you'll be pleased to know, if you have not already heard, that last week we had a salvation message, and we had three middle-aged people that came to me and told me they had called upon the Lord in prayer and to be their Savior. I rejoice in that. We'd had two elderly people earlier in the week, so that's five last week adults that got saved, and we're hoping in the weeks to come perhaps to be able to be baptizing. But if you were here last Sunday and you prayed and you asked Jesus into your heart and you haven't taken an opportunity to tell me about that, it's not that I want to do anything, but just know that we have a new sheep among the flock. That way I can be a better shepherd to you. And so if that's the case, please tell me about it. Or you can call me, you can come through the line and tell me, or you can text me, whatever, okay? Numbers chapter 13, let me give you a little bit of background. God has delivered his children Israel out of the oppressive nation of oppressive hand of the Egyptians. And he has time and time again through this process provided miraculously for their needs as they travel through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, the land that he promised he would take them to, a land of milk and honey. And so they arrived in chapter 13 at Kadesh Barnea, and that's on the border there of the promised land. And God is going to allow them at this point to send 12 men into their land of inheritance and to spy out the land, to just kind of see what it's like, to kind of see what the enemy territory looks like, because they're going to have to receive this land through conquering the inhabitants of it. Okay, so off these 12 spies go into the promised land, and for 40 days they have exercised reconnaissance, and now in our text they've returned and they want to tell of what they found. They're going to first of all tell of the wonderful resources that they found. They brought some examples of some of the fruit of the land there in Canaan, the grapes, the pomegranates, the figs. It truly is a land of milk and honey, and they have seen this firsthand, and that's something that all 12 of them agreed upon. In fact, if you'll join with me in verse 25 of Numbers 13, he says, "And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And when they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, verse 27, and told him and said, we came unto a land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In other words, they're saying it's just exactly like God said. It is quite a land. I'm talking about this is a rich land. This is a land that would be great for crops, a land that would provide well for us, okay? But they also brought back a report of the kind of opposition they'd be facing. What the enemies were going to be like, and this is no big deal. You would expect them to also, tell both sides of it. Hey, come back, and here's what we're going to be up against, and these are the things we're going to be facing. And so all of them give testimony to the facts relating to the opposition. We find that in verse 28, and it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And so they're along with the positive, the fruit, and the milk and honey of the land, they're also saying, hey, we it's going to be tough. There's some walled cities there. There's some giants there. There's some mighty armies there. And I want you to notice, though, the two different outlooks regarding going in and taking the land. The first view was by the majority. 10 of the spies out of the 12 kind of leaned on their own human understanding, and they gave a very discouraging report. We begin in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You see, this is a perfect example of the naysayers in life. The people we encounter in life that say, oh, everything's bad, okay? The ones that don't get anything done on their own. They don't see the glass half full, if you will. They're negative about what lies ahead and what we're going to face and this sort of thing. And because of that, they don't get anything done on their own. But here's what I want you to notice. They're stating facts. Yes, there were giants there. Yes, they were walled cities. And yes, it's going to be tough. But they did it with such exaggeration that it discouraged the people. They said it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. In other words, the ideal is that this is some land that the ground just opens up and swallows people. They said there were giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers upside them. They were exaggerating. Maybe this is more like a fairy tale deal, Gulliver's Travels or Jack and the Beanstalk or something like that. These 10 painted a very bleak picture regarding the promised land. And I want you to look at the effect it had on the people. Verse 14, or chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. You see what happened to the people of the Lord? You got 10 guys that come back with all this negative report and discourage the people. They're naysayers, if you will, and they come home and they hinder the work of God just by their attitude. It's kind of a committee, if you will, a committee of 10. And one guy said that a committee is a group of people that don't do anything on their own, so they form a group to say nothing can be done.
And that's basically what it often happens. Folks, it's easy to walk by sight. It's easy to move along with the crowd. It's easy to never take steps that require faith. To never adventure. To never step out. To never try something new. To never leave our comfort zone. To never allow ourselves to be challenged. And folks, if that's the way we operate, that's just setting ourselves up for a life of the mundane, a life that doesn't bear any fruit, a life that's average at best. The 10 naysayers were content to just stay in the wilderness. Hey, we can't go in here. We're not able, they said. But there were two men in the group. Remember, there's 12 that went in. 10 of them were naysayers, but there were two more fellas, Caleb and Joshua, the other two spies in the group, and they were cut from a different cloth. They saw the land of Canaan. Yeah, they saw all the facts. They saw all the difficulties. They saw all the obstacles. But they saw it with a set of different eyes. They saw it through the eyes of faith. Notice verse 30. You back up just a little bit. Here's their report. In verse 30 it says, and Caleb steeled the people. He said, hey, be quiet for a minute. Listen to me. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You see, Caleb didn't deny the fact that there were big people there. He didn't deny the fact that there were walled cities. He didn't make light of the challenges that were going to be involved. The facts were all the same with Caleb. But he also knew the God that they served. And he also knew what God had already done in their past. All of his provision. All of his miracles. And so he knew that they were able to go forward. If it was God's will, they were going to be able to conquer that land. He says we are well able to overcome it. We're more than equipped with the power of God. Friends, that's what we run up against in life. And when we see a challenge, is if we say, oh no, that's going to be too hard. Oh no, I'm afraid I'll fail. Then we never get anything done. But when we say, you know what? God has carried me in the past. God has been there. He's extended His power all along. We're going to be able to do this. That's when we get to see some new territory. That's when God begins to open doors and broaden our horizons. Then we just go into whatever it is He's laid before us with trust. It won't be easy, no. We'll have to walk by faith. We're not going to have a blueprint that just says this is exactly what's going to happen. We're not going to have a written out plan on how things are going to go. All we have is trust in Him that things will go. I remember when I was a kid, before I was really old enough to go and take any kind of other job, one thing that I could do was haul hay. Started out hauling hay as a youngster, and we would pull up to those hay fields in the morning early. You tried to get started for the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. And you'd pull up to those hay fields. And as a kid, I can remember, the square bales. Almost back then, that's about all they did. Those small two-string square bales. And you'd pull up to a field, and there would be row after row after row of square bales. In some cases, a couple of thousand of them. They'd be lined up and they would just kind of dot the landscape, if you will. And as a kid, it was so overwhelming because I thought, well, we'll never get this done. We'll never get all this hay in the barn. All we had was a flatbed trailer and a pickup and a pair of gloves apiece, and we got to get this hay out of here. It was tempting to walk away. It was tempting to say, I don't need the money that bad. But I didn't. One thing, I was with men that you wouldn't allow that. How did we haul it, folks? One bale at a time. One 60, 70-pound bale picked up, thrown on the trailer, stacked, and then hauled to the barn and picked up and thrown off the trailer and stacked. One bale at a time. Sure, it was tiring. Sure, it was mundane. Sure, it was a challenge. But at the end of the day, that one bale at a time equated to 10 cents. 10 cents times a couple of thousand is $200. That's a lot of money for a kid. You see, one bale at a time, but it paid off. Folks, I thank God that I don't know how, with the kind of raising that I had, the limited structure, but I was taught early on in life to just wade in. I don't know exactly who all I picked it up from, but I was taught to just wade in to things. Those that say it can't be done are usually going to get interrupted by the people doing it. While we're sitting around talking about things and questioning and analyzing and deliberating and criticizing, others are already halfway through it. Many of you have taken the challenge to read your Bibles through in a year. That's a big challenge. Maybe perhaps you just bit off part of it. You're going to read your New Testament through in a year. And that's a difficult thing to do, because I do it myself, and it's difficult. It was difficult this week for sure, because everything was so crowded, so much to get done. But how do we do it? One verse at a time. One chapter at a time. One day at a time. And the first thing you know, it's the end of the year and you've read your whole Bible through. Friends, God wants us to get out of our comfort zone. He has plans for us, and if we don't step out in faith and trust Him, those plans will never be fulfilled. Does God fail if we don't cooperate? No, God doesn't fail. He can still get things done with or without us, but we're the ones that miss out. The victories, the accomplishments, the progress, we'll never be able to realize and experience those things unless we step out in faith. You know what happened to the 10 spies that came home with a discouraging report to the people? God made it where they didn't get to go in the promised land. They wandered around in the wilderness until their death. They never experienced the blessings. They never got to enjoy the milk and the honey that awaited them. And contrary to what many people believe, many people think, and even our hymns that we sing, many people think that the promised land is necessarily a picture of heaven. But there's no battles to be fought going to heaven. Heaven's just handed to us, okay? But this is more, the promised land is more a picture, the land of Canaan is more a picture of the experience that we have when we follow God and the life that He will give us. It's an image of the inheritance that we have here in this life. And folks, I'm not necessarily talking about health, wealth, and prosperity, and everything's going to be perfect, but I am talking about victory. God has a work for us to do. Ephesians chapter 10, or 2 and verse 10 says this: "We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It's God's plan for us to step away from the familiar and step into things new and experience the progress, experience the fulfillment, and experience the victory. And the naysayers of this life miss out on that. What about Caleb? In verse 30, he said, "Boys, let's go. We're well able to overcome." I want to show you what God's assessment of Caleb was. Chapter 14 and verse 24, and Roy, I don't think I put that on there. Chapter 14 and verse 34, I want you to know, or 24 rather, I want you to notice what God says. "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit in him," you see, he's made of the right stuff, "and hath followed me fully him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. He said, oh, Caleb here, he was older than all of them just about. He says, he's made of the right stuff. So he's going to go enjoy this land. You guys are going to stay behind, you naysayers. You're going to stay back here and you're going to die in the wilderness. But Caleb was willing to take the challenge, and so he was allowed to go in and experience the blessings. Chapter 14 tells us that Caleb was 85 years old. And he was in good health, and God gave him an inheritance. You see, he never retired, if you will, from the things of God. I know this to be true. We've experienced so many blessings in our church over the years because the backbone, and I don't mean to make exception to anybody younger, but the backbone of our church for all of these years has been an aging group, let's put it that way. Not completely old, but they remind you of old people, okay? People that through the years that haven't taken retirement from the things of God. Oh, we have these kids and they're a handful and we love them and we work hard. But you know what? Who's footing the bill? You guys are. The adults. We've been a great church because people like Pat Carlton show up here during the week and go back here in silence, comes in and goes out without even hearing her and cleans that end of the building. And we have other ladies that come in and clean this end of the building. And these are mostly older people, retired people. We have a great church because we have people like Travis and Geraldine and Ray that you know, and don't feel well at all most of the time, and they get in their cars in East Lubbock and drive down here to participate and be a part of their church. We have a great church because we've got people that love their church and say, I want to get something done. See, Caleb was 85 years old and he said, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Sarah and Abraham were 90-plus years old when they had a little baby boy named Isaac. And folks, I don't recommend that at all, okay? At all, okay? Daniel was in his 80s when he went to the lion's den. You see, folks, I'm aging myself. I realize I don't consider myself old, but I'm aging. And it always seems to happen. I take a look at my life. I have my pastor back home just retired. And I think about my life and the years coming, and I'm just 53, so I mean, we're talking years, but I think about how my future will be held. I'll be honest with you, folks. If I can stay relevant, I want a pastor till I'm 80. If I can stay relevant. If I can't stay relevant and effective, then I want to be able to have the wisdom to see that. I want to work. I want to wade in. I want to be different. I want to take the challenge. I want to get out of what's familiar, get out of the comfort zone, and step out in faith. I'll be honest with you, but I like to do dangerous things. I don't know where that came from me, but I just like to every once in a while just do something dangerous. And that's why I've had a few mishaps over the years. But I just, it's that way. Years ago, and I'll get back and we'll be done. We go back home to Clarendon to the 4th of July celebration. It's Cowboy Christmas, we call it. And they've got a rodeo, and when I was younger, man, I was right there in the thick of that stuff, and we'd have the wild mare race, if you've ever seen it. It's a crazy thing. Three men on a team, you take a horse that's never been handled, caught, or anything, saddle them and ride them, try to get to the finish line. It's crazy. So I go home. I've raised my kids. My kids are grown.
And I go home and I run into a couple of buddies. We used to get in a mare race. So we got our heads together. We're going to get in a mare race. I was in my 40s. Folks, we won it. A couple of years, I went back, and I'm that many years older. We did it again, and we won it again. And I had my shirt ripped off of me from being drug around the arena, and we split $25 three ways. I just wanted to do something different. And I don't recommend we operate that way. But as Christians, we need to be courageous. We need to be willing to step out and do things that are not normal. Not the status quo. You know what people think around here? And I'll tell you what, folks. We, in spite of COVID, 2020 was a fantastic year in a lot of ways. One thing, we didn't use it as an excuse to get lazy around here. We stayed at it as best we could, as best we were allowed. We didn't get lazy, and consequently, we've had a great year. I'm with Caleb. I want to go out, and I want to see everything that lies ahead as an opportunity. As a opportunity to fulfill things in God's kingdom that we haven't fulfilled before. To go in and do things that we've never done before and to receive the blessings of that like Caleb did. To partake of the milk and honey. The fruits of the land. To conquer the enemy. To march into the walled cities of this world and say, hey, we're taking over. Folks, I don't know how this message hits you. It's a little bit different. Two things. Don't be one of the naysayers. Don't be one of the negatives that say it can't be done. Don't be the one that hinders those around you by saying, oh, what about this and what about that? And I'm not sure about this. But make up your mind you're going to be a Caleb or a Joshua and say, you know what, there's some things out there. It's going to be a little tricky. We'll work through them. We're going to do this. Be one of those people. And then secondly, be one of those people that says, you know what? I've always done this. This is what's comfortable. This is what's familiar. Let me try something different. Whatever age you are, wherever you fall, what your life is, your occupation, or whether you're retired or not, say, you know what? I want to do something different. I want to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been challenged. You want to bow before God at this altar or bow before God right there in your pew and just ask Him to open doors, to broaden your horizons, to give you the courage to step out, to give you what it takes to be a Caleb or a Joshua in this life. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to you. You come.